You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn-find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Well, glory be. Here we are, show number 161.
I saw an Aston Martin in the wild on the street the other day.
So there was one at St. Michael's, the Concours that we were at this past weekend. And it's got a lot going on the back of it that Aston Martin does. Yeah. And there was a purple DB. I can't keep up with all the nomenclature of all these cars anymore. But it was a purple Aston Martin coupe that looks similar to Kathy's V8 Vantage, but it was a DBR 12 cylinder, whatever, one of 100 made. It's pretty cool in purple. And then, of course, there were some radical Bentleys, and but the Aston Martin SUV, it's a DB something.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of cool.
Yeah, it retains that interesting grill that is, you know, they're renowned for. And the more I write Aston Martins here at the mall, we have two in stock now.
Three.
Well, Kathy's Two and a half.
Why don't they just call it the Bond or something?
The Bond,
they come up with the names instead of all these numbers.
They're spectacular.
They are spectacular.
I mean, I'm sort of leaning that way over a 911. Not that I can afford either one. I'm just saying, given my druthers.
If I was leaning, I would be leaning that way.
I like them, but I like coupes. I don't like convertibles. Like I said, I'm done with convertibles.
We think we all want convertibles until you get one. And then you think, okay, I don't use it as much. Because the problem is that convertibles are good for about 3 days out of the year. It's either too damn hot or it's too cold or she doesn't want her hair messed up or, you know.
Plus the canvas lets in a lot of heat.
Yeah, and noise.
And noise.
It's a lot noisier.
You feel like you're right on the street.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm driving that car with the top up, I feel like, God, is there somebody? I mean, somebody sounds like they're in my car.
Right. My wife and I rented a convertible way before kids, and we went up Palos Verdes and along the coast in Southern California. We got more fumes. We were dizzy by the time we got out of the car. I don't get it.
The attraction. I mean, you see people, it's 110 degrees outside with their top down. You think, golly, seems like a lot. So show number 161.
Right.
So just me and Steve winging it this week.
That's it.
We just got back from the St. Michael's.
Well, we didn't, but you did.
Sorry, Steve. Kathy and I went to the St. Michael's Concours. What a wonderful event. It's down in the eastern shore of Maryland, and it's just a pretty part of the world, right on the water.
Is that a new event or
no? It was in St. Michael's proper before, and now it's moved to a different town, and I can't remember the name of it. But if you can go on their website, St. Michael's Concours, Google it, St. Michael's Concours d'Elegance. And it was a great event, and I still don't know who won Best of Show because we were helping Garrett tear down the trailer and not making him do too much work, you know, because we don't want to stress the kid out.
Right, no.
He worked his first show, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he enjoyed it and made a lot of great contacts, met a lot of great people. And then, of course, this week we're on our way to, meaning me and Kathy, not you. are on our way to Newport, Rhode Island.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, to the Audrain Concours d'Elegance.
Driving up there.
We're going to drive up there 5.5 hours. Not sure what we're driving yet. Probably the old trusty SUV because it's got the thick tires. Right. And I say that because there are some roads around here that if you hit a thin-walled, high-performance tire with a aluminum wheel or whatever the hell they're made of, the likelihood it's going to break.
And blow it out.
And blow it out.
That's
and
right.
They are really hard on those kind of cars and tires.
It's true.
That's one of the reasons that I think a lot of people don't put as many miles on their cars as you would think that they would. Because now, the beauty of it is that you can go south of here from out of our place, and there's wonderful roads that are in great shape, that don't have any potholes and anything like that, and you can drive these cars without fear of doing any damage. But when you're going on a road trip, there's just nothing worse than hitting that expansion joint, and you think, man, I think all four of the tires are probably gone.
I have interior pieces coming off on the BMW.
I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, our problems or your problems.
First world problems. By the way, Vegas has beautiful roads. I mean, everything's new there, and so everything's smooth. And,
but, you know, even coming out of Maryland, Delaware, the roads were great. And then we came into Pennsylvania, and the roads, like 202 coming in down there and near Wilmington and all that. Man, the roads are rough down there. Now, it looks like they are repaving them, so I'll give them a little props. Don't come knocking on my door complaining.
Well, build back better.
Build back better, yeah. And it's, you know, and they're going up on the tolls, so maybe that's
the your tax dollars at work.
Tax dollars hard at work. So where did we sell cars this past week?
Where did we?
Had a little light week. We had a light week on consignments and on sales.
It's the calm before the storm, they say.
Well, that's what they say. And
let's hope so.
Whoever they are. Right. It is this time of year. It's like the little lull between before Carlisle and Hershey, which are coming up both. Carlisle starts day after tomorrow, which will be 2 days ago if you're hearing this for the first time. Carry the one and, you know, put the lime in the coconut.
Early October.
And then Hershey's the following week. And then Chattanooga's the following week after that. And
great.
A lot of events that we're going to be at. But
I think it was probably the rain. A lot of rain this past
week.
Rain.
Yeah, we had a lot of rain. And that, it's amazing how the consignments just almost completely stop when it rains. You know, if you have a rainy day, you might see one consignment come in. We're on, most days we're seeing 5, 6, sure. 7, 8. 10. Mm-hmm. And so, but we're staying caught up, doing an excellent job, Steve. And
thank you. Got a little help.
And your protege.
You know, it's like a turbocharger. We boost it up and got it done.
Dialed in and dial it back. Dial it back. And it's nice to have, and your old writing styles, talking about Peter who helped us when we were getting a little bit behind this past couple of weeks, your writing styles are pretty similar. So that makes it, a more fluid process than
you can't hardly tell.
You can't hardly tell. Yeah. How do we know? Where did we sell cars last week? Like I said, a little bit light. Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Lancaster, Ohio. Mocksville, North Carolina. Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey. Lebanon, New Jersey. Deltona, Florida. Dover, Pennsylvania. Findlay, Ohio. And Wedel, Germany.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got sold a car across the sea.
Over the pond.
Very nice.
And one of those. Boo Hiss is my Harley.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, it ain't done till it's done.
Is the Mark III on that list, too? I think the Mark III sold last week. I'm kind of a little bit bummed about that.
But. Yeah. No, I don't see it. Okay. I think there's a deposit.
I see. Okay. Not mine.
Did you not put a deposit?
No.
Okay. Well, then we'll move on. Then.
Yep.
excuse me. Talking about the shows, it's amazing the attendance that these and the amount of people that not only participate in these Concours d'Elegances, but also the spectators that come to these things and the families that come. And it's really great and encouraging to see. And a lot of us were talking about the fact that Concours need to figure out how to attract a younger crowd. And the argument is, oh, we'll just, you know, make it more cars about what they would want to see. And our argument back is, wait a minute, you shouldn't change a Concours d'Elegance. You should educate people into appreciating what it is. But if you want a car, you know, car show for the 80s and 90s cars, then you have Radwood. And if you want a hot rod show, you have the Grand National Roadster show. And if you want a particular type of show, we should have all those multitudes of shows. But I don't think you should change a Concours d'Elegance to make it fit the crowd. The crowd needs to fit the show.
Yeah.
And you just got to educate people on why it's important that these big pre-war V16 and V12 Cadillacs and Packards and Duesenbergs are important and their art. And there's a reason that they're so admired by people. And there's a reason, same with the post-war stuff, the Ferraris and the Maseratis from the 50s and the 60s. Now, those are all important, but we can't get away from that. We can't make a Concours d'Elegance with a Toyota Supra as the best in show.
Right.
I mean, it just kind of takes away from what it is. And I, by the way, I love Toyota Supras. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I also love Duesenbergs, and I also love Ferraris, and I also love I like about everything.
Really. A lot of the issue is this younger generation here, you know, because they're not teaching history in a lot of the schools. And there's, you know, kids are like, you know, I didn't hang with George Washington, but I know who he was.
Right.
You know? And there's just a lot of young people that if it happened before their memory, they're not
interested.
It doesn't
exist. They don't care, and it doesn't exist. And candidly, I mean, I was a little bored in history, and then I became a huge history buff later in my years when the History Channel started.
Yeah, and it does happen.
You know, and I was like, why didn't I? This is fascinating. But it wasn't, the History Channel made it fascinating, not just because it was a visual video type thing. It was that they were talking to their audience. Had history books in high school been talking to us, you know, telling us the fun and cool stuff that happened back in the day, then that would have been a whole different animal. But when you got to know exactly the day, week, and hour that the War of 1812 started, or that
what year did it start?
Yeah, I think 1820-ish.
Who's buried in Lincoln's grave? That
Then all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't interesting. But when you got it presented to you in different formats, in a more user-friendly, hey, we have to get ratings, so we got to make it really interesting to people. It was fascinating.
Yeah, and if maybe in history in school they touch on Henry Ford and the automotive industry.
Maybe.
But maybe not, too, you know. So the History Channel and things like that will do a whole hour.
A lot had to do with the teachers, too. So everyone's had teachers they remember and they retain things from, and others that just kind of went through the motions.
Well, the history teacher was usually the football coach, and he was half the time wasn't there.
That's true.
You know, and didn't care, and just was part of his gig, and he had to be the history teacher, you know. And I get it. I mean, schools had to make do with what they had. I mean, it's not like we got a terrible education, but
But you're right, JR. History today is a completely different, they're teaching completely different stuff than history.
Well, the
recent history,
the cars that made America, the foods that made America, the amusement parks that made America, how Disney changed America. They're all interesting stories that you never really heard before. No. And all of a sudden they're out there and prevalent, and you hear about them, and you go, oh, that's really cool. Why wasn't that taught in high school?
Because colonialism is more important to teach.
Right. And knowing dates and, you know, well, it's like the driver's test anymore. There's nothing about driving. You know, there's nothing like, how do you control a car in a skid? You know, what do you do if your brakes fail? What do you do if something happens? No. It's, how many days will your license be suspended if you're caught, you know, winking at a girl with a Mr. Microphone in one hand?
That's funny.
You know, not that funny.
If you roll through that stop sign.
Yeah.
You
know, well, yeah. What's a California rolling stop?
And, how many points? I mean,
but it's not stuff about maintaining control of a car or knowing the limits of a car, knowing what to feel and look for in a car. None of that has anything to do with anything.
So it's like they don't teach finance in school either.
Right. Or how to balance a checkbook.
Exactly. Yeah.
Our kids don't balance their checkbooks.
No. They don't have
checkbooks. Or how to get it unstuck in the snow.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Do you rock it from reverse to drive, reverse to drive? Or, you know, do you do something else? You'd probably do something else.
Something.
Oh, you're giving me the signal.
Yeah.
When we return, we'll continue our history lesson with the Classic Auto Mall Show.
You are invited on a safari at Classic Auto Mall on a search for animals. Look closely and you might see a tiger, jaguar, and a cheetah or cougar as they try to catch a herd of impalas. And don't forget the wild mustangs and broncos, plus gazelle, rabbits, and rams. Instead of the zoo, you'll want to do your animal watching at Classic Auto Mall. It smells better, too.
Questions or comments? Contact us at podcast@classicautomall.com.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/AWR. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/AWR. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/DeLapp. That's DELAPP. That's walkrun.stjude.org/DeLapp. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, where we're having lovely, lovely weather.
Wherever you are.
Wherever you may be. God almighty.
Well, we're getting the Helene, right? Yeah. We got the tail end of Helene.
Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures?
Oh,
and stuff
boy, it's brutal. And they're not getting help down there.
No, they're not. If you can throw any money towards anything, mm-hmm. do it towards the Red Cross or to,
yep.
There's a flight. Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but I'll try to remember it. But, before we finish the show, but, help them out down there. There are people that are stranded with no cell phones, no electricity, right. no food, all the roads. I mean, you can't even get into Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It is. It's like Armageddon. I mean, they were saying, you know, 30 inches of rain in a 10-hour period and a 40-foot wall of water just coming down and taking a whole town wow. completely out.
Some of the video is just incredible.
Yeah. You can't even fathom that that could be your house. With just water up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think most of the major websites like Fox News and CNN and Colbert Report and all that have multiple places you can go. So they are like a clearinghouse for their places that you can make donations. Yeah. And they're saying people need diapers and that, you know, don't send by that. They can't, they have to go on a truck and the trucks can't get
in. They have to get on a helicopter.
They need money.
They need money.
You know, that's what you may need to donate.
Yeah. Donate money. Don't give them a can of beans. I mean, no. I'm sure that they wouldn't mind a can of beans, but how are you going to get it to them? Everything's going to be helicopter. Helicoptered in.
Yeah.
And there's still thousands of people that are missing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may be fine, but nobody can get a hold of them. Nobody can.
Yeah, I just saw a thing where a woman from a radio station, she's part of a morning show in Traverse City, Michigan, was missing for like 3 days. And finally, she went to a cabin somewhere with her two dogs. And she finally did some kind of a Zoom or something. And the radio station said she's okay. Never mentioned what happened to the dogs, though. So I don't think it was good.
Well, and, you know, these cell phone companies need to have some kind of redundancy with some kind of satellites that apparently Elon is sending his satellites over to be over that part of the country and allow the people to get some signals. But there ought to be some kind of regulations. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not pointing my finger at the cell phone companies, but come on, you make enough money. You can afford to have a couple of satellites up there as backups for natural disasters, because there's nothing worse than having a natural disaster and you can't get a hold or contact anybody or have any way to communicate with the outside world to let people know, hey, we're here. Don't forget about us.
Well, and I don't understand why they don't bury more power lines.
Right.
Because I lived in a neighborhood in Delaware County in near Philadelphia, and somebody would sneeze and the power would go out.
Yeah.
Right. Our neighborhood was a newer development, had all underground lines, but they replaced the lines and widened the road on the way, and they put more poles up. And right, so somebody hits a pole, and not to mention a storm, but somebody drives into a pole and their power's out.
Exactly. So anyway, if you can donate, donate.
Yep.
How many cars we got in inventory today?
Nine.
Go ahead.
I got an echo in my ear. I'm going to say 950.
Well, you're going to say.
I was going to say 9. I'll say 953.
964. Oh. You're both wrong. So.
Whoever's closer without going over wins nothing.
Well, it was the guy that always would, you know, eat on the prices, right? I'd say it's worth 10,000. I'd say it's worth 10,500. I'd say it's worth 11, 12. What do you say? 99.99, because I'm going to be under everybody.
Yeah, hated that guy.
Oh, that one guy got the dollar off.
Coward.
He always won, too, and that was never fair, and that was wrong on many levels. So, our article of the week, which... We can't really call it an article of the week if I don't do it every week.
Right.
So the article some weeks.
This
month's article. Expected expenditures when purchasing a classic car. When purchasing a classic, antique, muscle car, hot rod, etc., should I expect to have any additional expenses? In a nutshell, yes. Any older vehicle is going to have things that need replacing no matter how well maintained it was. We see this all the time. A starter goes out, an alternator, a relay, something goes wrong. So when you buy a classic or special interest car, don't spend every penny of it on buying the car.
Mm-hmm.
Save some money back, especially the older cars that haven't driven a long distance in a while. And you get out and it's the new car to you and you're driving it and putting miles on it that it hadn't experienced in a number of years. And things will go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Those tires look new, don't they?
Sometimes they look new.
They look great and have plenty of tread, so they must be roadworthy. Mm-hmm. Check the date code. They could be 20 years old.
Easily.
And some of these tires that are 20 years old, they look good, but their chance of failure is very high.
That's true.
And so all of a sudden, you're driving down the road and a tire blows out. And that particular tire that is on that particular car may not be readily available at your local tire store. You know, you may have to go through Coker or... one of the other tire companies. So,
and if the tire blows out, those older cars may not be as easy to control as the newer
cars. That's exactly right. True. You know, the motorhomes nowadays have a steer correction that when you blow out a tire, it maintains a straight distance. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't allow the wheel to go whatever. So, you know, and people, you say, well, why didn't the guy put new tires on it or a new battery in it? Well, because we're all guilty of the same thing. Well, those tires I just put on last year. That battery was just like 6 months ago. No, the battery was 6 years ago and the tires were 20 years ago.
Time goes by quickly.
Yeah, it's like you don't equate time and that you've owned something unless you're just really weirdly, you know, photogenic memory or whatever they call it. So, but you know, if the car was stored on a cold concrete floor, there's a good chance that those tires are not as good a shape as they came from the factory. And listen, I'm amazed at how good tires are to begin with. I mean, to see all the tires that you see running down the road every day and to see as little failures as you actually see in those, it's pretty amazing. And usually the failure is because there was something sharp and in the road or something came off.
Or your wife curbs it. And daughter, by
or
the way.
Or daughter. Or husband.
On the same day.
Oh,
last
really?
Year, yeah.
On the same day.
They curbed their front tire.
Oh, around here, if you curb a tire, you are in purgatory from all of our... Oh, did you curb those tires on that car? You know, you'll never live it down when you curb a tire around here. You know, what other items might need replacing when you buy a new car? How about a mechanical or electrical device? I say this all the time. How many times have you parked your car, gone in, gone to bed, woke up the next morning, walked out, the car wouldn't start?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell happened? It ran when I parked it. It didn't run now. So who knows? You're shipping your car across the country on an enclosed carrier that puts it in a cocoon on a white glove service, and you're going down the road. But guess what? That thing is bouncing, and its things can come loose. And even though the car ran perfectly when you pulled it onto the trailer, by the time you get to California or Texas or wherever, there might be an issue. So I'm not saying that all cars this happens to, and I'm not saying this to cover our butts.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fact. It's just these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you bought a hot rod or a custom that was built from a bunch of different manufacturers' parts all put together, we tend to forget how really good manufacturers are at making all those parts work together in an automobile because, you know, there's a lot of things that are different that can go wrong. But when you start taking different manufacturers of parts that are not built to the same specs as maybe a General Motors or a Ford or a Chrysler, then they don't always match up exactly right. And if the hot rod or the custom has, you know, zero or no or very little miles, then it probably hasn't been sorted out completely. So it's another thing to think about. And again, I'm not trying to scare people away and say, oh, don't buy a car like that because it'll never be right. Mm-hmm. But that's not the point. The point here is that you should expect that you're going to maybe have to spend a little bit of money, especially once a car gets sorted out. I prefer buying cars that have 3,000 or 4,000 miles on them since they've been restored or rebuilt. Only because they've kind of had a chance for go through all the trials and tribulations of things that might go wrong and that kind of thing. So, but if you plan on, you know, having some additional expenditures, it's a more pleasant experience because if you have $20,000 in the bank and you spend $19,900 on the car and $100 on shipping and then you get it home and go, oh, I'd like to. Well, I sure wish I had enough money to put some new wheels on it. Or
right,
I sure wish I had enough money to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't. And so, and then the enjoyment of it kind of diminishes a little bit. So, that's my tip of the day.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You know, it's to your point, the tires, definitely check the tires because a lot of these cars have been sitting in collections or whatever. And like you said, the years go by and the tire could be 10, 15, 20 years old.
Well, and a car that comes out of a museum per se that sat for 10 or 15 years old is generally going to need some stuff done to it.
Mm-hmm.
The seals are going to probably be dried out. The fuel needs to be, probably the tank needs to be taken off and drained. I mean, there's things that you should do and none of that is insurmountable. None of it is the kind of stuff, but it's the kind of stuff that you should know and going into a situation like that you might be able to negotiate a little bit better of a price because you say, you know, this car hadn't run in 10 years. I know that I'm going to have some expenses. I'd be willing to buy this car. However, I would pay this instead of that or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know. And the longer it sits, the more likely that there's something that has gone wrong. But the great thing is that if it's a flathead Ford and it hadn't run in 40 years, it will more than likely start. They're amazing
That is true.
I just can't believe it that these cars that have sat even outside And a little Marvel mystery oil and some fresh gas and a fresh spark and
cranks up.
There they go.
It's amazing.
And I love seeing that because you just never know. And cars that we get cars all the time that, have sat for a while or the owner passed away and the family had a hard time letting go of it, or they just kind of out of sight, out of mind in the garage and just didn't think, much about it and then realized one day, oh goodness, maybe we should, we should think about this. And then by then there's a whole lot to do. And so, which dovetails into planning your estate and how you do all that and making sure that somebody knows, who to call for repair of a car, to haul a car, where you want us to sell it, where, what the pricing needs to be, where your thinking on that is. And you should revise that. There's those life boxes that they have now that you can put all your details of your life and passwords and accounts and safety deposit boxes and stuff that's important in the attic or
is that like a safe?
No, it's more of a thing where it's got different labels and categories of stuff and things that insurance policies and, different things for your, when you're gone.
Why didn't I think of that?
I know.
Yeah, they have the little boxes, they're fireproof boxes. Right. And you can get those, too, at any Staples or something like that.
But this is one that makes you think about stuff that you may forget or overlook. I bet you there are tons of safety deposit boxes with nobody's ever claimed. Sure. Or there are accounts that have money in them. We see it all the time. The state of Pennsylvania or the state of wherever you live will put out a list of unclaimed stuff. And a storage room. You might have a storage room down the street that's got, valuable car parts in it. And they're not calling you. They're not going to say, hey, where you been? They're going to say, you didn't pay, so we're seizing it, and we're going to sell it, and we don't hear from you.
It'll be on Storage Wars.
See it on TV.
The whole show about it.
There is a whole show about it. Anyway, when we return, we will continue more about some of the new arrivals here this week. Ooh, we got some good stuff in.
So. Okay.
Are you bored with your commute, listless in your lane, and you don't even have the get up and go on green? 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Classic Auto Mall to cure the common drive. The Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, PA is a veritable classic car supermarket with classics of all prices, types, and years. So if you need a cure for the common drive, check out Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown or ClassicAutoMall.com. Side effects include not wanting to come home, going to car hop drive-ins, recenter your fingernails, old car smell, and bias ply bias.
Questions or comments? Contact us at podcast@classicautomall.com.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, 4 issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. That's DELAPP. That's walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. Thank you.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than 6 decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
What's the joke Larry the Cable Guy says? My dad, he smoked, he drank, he ate gravy on everything, and he lived a happy, healthy 48 years old. We got some good guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. We've got Tim and Cindy McGrain. Cindy works for the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance, and her husband Tim has M1 Concours, and it's not a Concours d'Elegance, it's a concourse track on 57 acres in Detroit. And then the following week, Justin Bell.
Excellent.
Race car driver, TV host.
Bang the microphone.
Banging that mic. You know, those things don't grow on trees.
I got a new configuration here, so I got to get used to it.
And Justin's going to be on the show on the following week. And his dad was, of course, Derek Bell, the famous race car. And Justin's famous in his own right. Don't get me wrong. I didn't mean it that way. And he is a great TV commentator and does a wonderful show from the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance every year where they kind of talk about the cars coming across the block. He and Tommy Kendall, the old Trans Am racer.
Yep. And they had the Torque Show for a long time.
I'd forgotten
that it would do at racetracks and stuff. It was like a podcast. Mm-hmm. Not as, it didn't run as long as ours.
Yeah.
But,
we're deep into 3 years.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
What is the anniversary gift for 3 years? Is that
the aluminum? Gift? It is a Cobra Shelby Daytona replica.
Is it aluminium?
To the producer.
Yeah. I think it's aluminium is what it is, right? So some of the new arrivals this week. How about the 73 MG MGB GT? Those are all capital letters. There, it's like, like MG's yelling at you.
It's a lot of
MG, MGB, MGGT, BBV.
All right. I get it.
A lot of characters.
Yeah. So a Damask. Red over navy blue, nicely restored and preserved. The one-year-only color combo. It's got the rebuilt 1.8 liter inline four and the rebuilt four-speed manual with a rebuilt overdrive. Very desirable, the overdrive in these things. It makes the driving difference just a completely different thing. This thing mechanically is just spot on. It's just dialed in. The guy, I know the guy really well who consigned the car. And, you know, it's driver quality exterior-wise and cosmetically, which is great because you can enjoy it. Just get in it and enjoy it. But mechanically, it's gone through, it's sorted, just as we were talking about earlier. It's one of those ones that you can get in and drive it just about anywhere.
That's important.
And it's got all the receipts and documentation. And again, that's important too. When you're buying a car, the more you can, the more information about its history and past and what's been done to it, the better. Not only for you as an owner, because you'll know, oh, that went bad and it's this, and this is what type of that it is. And I know, and I'll, you know, I know how to look it up and fix it. Cause a lot of times you see parts on these cars, you have no idea what they are,
or
where they came from, or if they were new or used or rebuilt or new old stock or.
Every once in a while, consigners don't know in the car.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't have records.
Yeah. And sometimes replaced parts still go bad again.
Sure. And new old stock, for those of you who don't know what that means, that basically means stock that sat on a shelf for the past however many years that's still brand new, but it might be 30 or 40 or 50 years old. Very desirable to find new old stock parts for any cars. But again, the cars don't speak. I mean, we have guys who bring us in cars with small block Chevys in them, and we're not sure if it's a 327 or a 307 or a 350 or what it is, and they don't know. And there are ways to tell, and you can tell rear ends and all that, and we do that, but it's not just, sometimes it's not just a simple glance.
Right.
And say, oh, well, that's that. So, other new arrival is the 1956 Chevrolet 150 two-door sedan in Matador Red and India Ivory, which is a great color combination on these.
Striking.
Things. Over red and white interior. And it's a 150. So, what a lot of people do with these, so in the Tri-5 Chevy, 1955, 56, and 57, there was a 150, a 210, and a Bel Air.
Right.
And they were all looked somewhat similar. They just had varying degrees of trim and extra chrome and extra parts and bigger engines. So a lot of these guys, when they resto mod, which is what this car is, they take a 150. So they don't ruin a good Bel Air, which was the kind of the top, well, kind of, it was the top of the line. In the Tri-5 Chevy world. This one's got a 383 stroker V8, 653 miles since built. So it's had enough miles on it to go through it and see that it's run and see that it's
break-in period.
Break-in period, if you will. What is it? It used to be 500 miles on your car that you couldn't go. Don't go over 59 miles an hour. No steady RPM. You want to vary that. So you're driving around like.
No, my dad was every 100 miles he would take it up to nearly 100, and then just to let it break in and then slow down and never go over, and he would increase it 10 miles an hour every time too.
God. And a little booklet about it, about it. And so, turbo hydromatic 400, 3-speed automatic. Got the classic Tri-5 look with the modern resto mod, if you will, reliability and a little bit of power. That 383 stroker.
I bet.
Those are, quite the motor.
Well, and the cheaper Chevys then are cheaper now. If you're trying to buy a Bel Air, but you still want to resto mod it or modernize it.
You buy the 150 or the 210, And you can buy a two-door sedan. So you still have the two-door look and kind of the swoopy look, but it doesn't have the openness between the front and the rear window. And then we always talk about sedans as if they were four doors, and there's not. There's two-door sedans and there's four-door sedans.
It's the post.
So the sedan, the difference between a sedan and a coupe or a four-door hardtop is the post in the middle.
Yeah, the door frame.
And if they don't have a post in the middle, then they look really cool when all the windows are down.
Right.
Yeah, it's really a cool.
Sure.
But I ask guys about that. You know, why didn't you buy the two-door hardtop? And they say, well, because when I'm driving, I can't tell the difference.
That's right.
I don't see that post. I just see the same view.
Yep.
Whether it's whatever it may be. So really cool car. Check that one out. All of these you can check on our website, classicautomall.com. And next, the 1932 Ford 18 Roadster. Flame red over saddle. Westcott's fiberglass body, which are the ones that you want if you're getting a fiberglass body. They're really well done and highly respected. Built and bored 392 cubic inch Hemi V8.
Good Lord.
Wow.
This thing doesn't weigh a whole lot.
It doesn't have wheelie bars either, I don't see.
It does not.
It doesn't, so be careful.
You know, the difference in weight between a steel car and a fiberglass car is probably 1,000 pounds, probably more than that.
I don't know.
I would like to know that. Please find
that
out.
I will check that out. That depends on the gauge of the steel.
Yeah, well, it depends on the size of the car.
Yeah. I mean, you go bump into one of these 1940s Oldsmobiles with those steel fenders, and you'll break your hand. You punch a new car with a metal fender, and you'll go right through it.
That's true. It's thin.
Yeah, very thin.
For lightness.
A Richmond 5-speed manual in this car. Okay. Buick finned drum brakes, which are really cool looking. When you can see in there for the wheels and see those big brakes. Hallebrand wheels, which are not cheap.
That's correct.
And a Ford 9-inch track lock axle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny that it's all the different things. So you've got a Richmond 5-speed with a Hemi V8 with a Ford rear. You know, it's all these different manufacturers and parts and stuff to go together. But this one has been really well sorted and really well done. It's probably as nice a hot rod as you'll ever see.
I agree.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge hot rod guy, but I certainly appreciate the quality of builds and the ability for these guys to make something look a little cooler than the rest or stand out a little bit.
And I got to say, we have some nice hot rods here.
We really do.
So if you're in the market for a hot rod, check out classicautomall.com.
Yeah. Or pickup trucks. We have tons of those.
Yes, we have
lots of
them. We have dragsters. We've got Corvettes and Mustangs. But if you want an open-wheel hot rod, check them out.
Yeah, I think that there's quite a few here that, and you'll find that generally speaking, you can buy one done cheaper than you can do it yourself. However, you have to take whatever the guy before you decided he liked and thought was cool.
That's right.
So if you over customize the car for yourself and you think, oh, I'm going to make this and I'm going to make a special of this and I'm going to make it only for people that are 6'3" and I'm going to, and all of a sudden you're customize yourself right out of the market.
There's a couple of them that have polished and painted undercarriages. Like, wow, that's
the same thing with your house though. You don't want to over customize your house. You don't want to add all the things that you think is cool because maybe the guy buying it from you doesn't think a simulator built into the kitchen is,
There was one of those house shows and had this gorgeous kitchen. It was all white marble and everything was done. And the lady comes and goes, well, those cabinets got to go. I got to have black. I can't have white.
True.
So whoever spent all the money doing that kitchen.
Right out the door. Yeah. And that happens in cars all the time, especially if it's something that, they like not 8/10 of it or 7/10 of it. And so they want to keep that part, but they want to change this and change that and change, repaint it, different color. And it's like, wait a minute. Let's start doing the math here. How deep do you want to go into this? You know, if you're going to pay retail or close to retail for a car, and then you're going to add a whole bunch of stuff to it that's really not going to significantly change the value, then maybe that's not the path to go. Maybe a restoration is a better thing for you, maybe from starting from a scratch.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, finding donor cars and finding things to be able to utilize anymore, I mean, it's getting tougher and tougher.
Add a lot more work.
Yeah, and it's a lot more. And time. You know, people buy cars in boxes and parts, and then they go, 3 years later, they go, I hadn't even, you know, yeah. I hadn't even got halfway through it.
Right.
Yeah,
in the corner of the pole barn.
Yeah, and they're calling me going, will you buy it back or can we resell it? I'm, you know, I want to buy one done.
It happens.
Because it seems cheap until you start realizing it's a lot of effort and work and you got to hunt down parts and you got to go to Carlisle and drag a bumper through the mud. And, you know, I mean, there's just.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. We love
We love Carlisle. We love mud. And we, where it always, I mean, but there, it's a lot more work than people think. And some people are built for it. It's just like we say about if you want to drive your car from here to California. It's a bad idea unless you're doing it for the right reason. If you're doing it for the reason that you and your son are going to take a bag of tools and extra parts for that particular car, and you know the stuff that fails, and it's an adventure you're going to take and drive across the country, then go for it.
Right.
But if you're doing it to save $50 on shipping, then you're axing for trouble.
That's right.
Is what they like to
that
say.
That is right.
Yeah. Next, the 1960 Chevrolet Corvette convertible, tuxedo black and sateen silver over red.
Ooh.
Numbers matching 283 cubic inch V8, nicely restored, stunning colors. Got the Muncie M20 manual. Don't believe it's the original transmission to the car. And great chrome on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I don't know, 60 Corvette is just really a cool looking car, and especially in black and silver with red interior.
It's just amazing that these were just like regular cars.
They were never
sort of regular, but the fact that they were common and this is the design that they came out with, amazing.
Yeah, you would see. And then, of course, in 63, when the Stingray came out, it was like aliens had landed.
Yeah, exactly.
Craziest thing
they
ever.
They did bring this back from space.
Yes, they did. And next, 1972 Volkswagen Super Beetle convertible, red over black, which is a great color for those.
Yeah.
8,800 title verified actual miles, we think. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure. Right. That's what the title says.
Yeah.
So we'll go with the title. Most of them get exempted after a certain, after 10 years, which is, can be a good thing or a bad thing. If you're, you know, if you know the car, if grandma only drove it 8,000 miles and Pennsylvania or your whatever state you're in puts exempt on it, it kind of hurts the value of
it's
it.
It's true.
Because then you can't really have it. You don't have any documentation and paperwork to follow. Now, cars built after 1981, you've got Carfaxes, which will kind of trace the lineage and history of the car and how many miles and all that. But, you know, not always easy to know. This one's got 1600 cc flat four cylinder, four speed manual transmission, rust free example. And last but not least, the 1959 Plymouth Fury hardtop aqua mist over Highland green and aqua mist. It's a great color.
That's a big car.
And it's a big car and it stands out. Garage kept. You better have a big old garage.
Measure your garage.
Awesome Ford design look. 318 cubic inch poly V8. Got the push button torque flight automatic trans, and just a smooth operator, smooth cruiser. You're just cruising on the 318. You know, people go, oh, it's only a 318. That's a pretty good motor.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need. How fast do you want to go in a Plymouth that weighs 19,000 pounds?
That's right.
You know? I mean, it's got enough chrome on it. It probably weighs more than me.
Yeah, easily.
Well, the 59 Ford had those big round taillights, and the Chevy had those big cat's eyes. And this one was kind of a sleeper with a little smaller taillights, but it had a real interesting front end.
Yeah, but that aqua mist really does it well. So when we return, we'll continue our conversation on the Classic Auto Mall Show.
The Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 vehicles for consignment in our huge 8-acre climate-controlled showroom. It's a real indoor mall. If you'd like to know all the advantages of buying and selling a car through consignment, the information is available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, convenient, and it doesn't matter where you are, we sell worldwide. See our huge selection of classic and collectible vehicles at classicautomall.com.
Come visit us at Classic Auto Mall. See our website for hours and location.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/DeLapp. That's DELAPP. That's walkrun.stjude.org/DeLapp. Thank you.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Morgantown.
Morgantown.
Pennsylvania.
Not West Virginia.
No.
No.
I get calls all the time. Hey, I'm here, but I don't seem to find your place.
We're close to Pittsburgh. No, we're close to Philadelphia.
We are Elverson adjacent.
Yeah. Or above Honeybrook.
Yeah, north of Honeybrook.
North of Honeybrook.
Take a ride on the Reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reading is the closest big city.
So we were talking about drag racing a couple of weeks ago on the show, and a friend of mine said, oh, I'm going to go to a drag race. What do I need to know? I go, well, how do you prepare to go to a drag race? Well, I can give you three words. Maybe it's six words. Headphones, headphones, headphones. Man, wear ear protection.
They are loud.
Because when you watch it on TV, it's not quite the same experience unless you have like the finest speaker system in the entire world. It would still never be as loud. Or your chest cavity can concave.
You feel everything.
And feel everything when these things go down the track. It really is awesome. But wear headphones and earplugs together. You know, don't.
Yeah, like you're going to a gun range.
And then maybe put a hoodie over you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's funny when you go to a gun range, how loud, especially like a 9mm it is. You don't realize it because most of the time when you shoot a gun, you're outside.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever I've shot guns in the past, it's always been outside at a shooting range. We went to the place down here, the Sportsman place, and boy, it's loud inside, even with the headphones on. And they had the headphones where you can talk and you can hear, but it blocks out the loud noise somehow.
Right.
Somehow knows how loud. It's like the thermos. How do it know?
Wow, those things are expensive too. Those canceling headphones.
Yeah,
are
noise canceling. That's right.
$150 or something.
Yeah. So, but worth it. So if you go to the drag races, headphones, 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 and earplugs, 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 and go on qualifying day. You don't have to go on the day of the race because you'll get the same excitement and it won't be as crowded. Although when we went to Maple Grove, it was pretty darn crowded on that Sunday. And if you've only seen it on TV, you've never seen drag race.
Yeah.
It just is not the same thing. It is so awe-inspiring. I mean, it's hard to describe the sound, the fury, the commotion. It's just,
it's a lot like if you've gone to a hockey game.
Right.
When you're at their arena and see how hard they're hitting, you see it better on TV with a bird's eye view of the camera. But man, when they wham into each other, you're like, wow.
And you can feel the cold and feel the smell of the ice and all of that. So, and the good thing about the drag races is they're still fairly cost effective to go to and attend. And it's a lot of bang for the buck and the concession prices aren't absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
But don't diminish, you know, the Top Fuel and the funny cars are the king of the hill, and those things are, you know, run on nitromethane, and they are just crazy. But those Mountain Motor Pro Stock cars, the 800 cubic inch Mountain Motor, there's a sound about them. They're not so loud that you need headphones and earplugs, but they have this low down guttural roar that's like, you can't, it's just really cool.
It's amazing.
So, and they don't run a quarter mile anymore. So don't be a dumbass like me and say to the guy, how fast is that doing the quarter? And he goes, well, we only run 1,000 feet now.
Mm-hmm. So, is that right?
Yeah. And I
actually, is that eighth mile?
No, eighth mile is,
half of
1,320. So that would be
600, 700. They run 1,000 feet.
They run 1,000 feet.
At Maple Grove? Uh-huh. Why is that?
Because they were going too fast.
Saves gas.
Oh. Yeah, fuel economy. They went from 1 mile a gallon to 1.2 miles per gallon.
I thought maybe they were going metric.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And they all run 1,000 feet now because they were just going too fast. They were going to be over 400 miles an
hour. Oh, my gosh.
A quarter mile. I mean, they're at 3 Well, maybe they wouldn't be over 400, but they'd be there at three. I think their record is 337 miles.
Longer
per hour.
Distance to stop, too, yeah. When they're going faster.
Yeah. Yeah, that parachute fails, and I don't care how long of a runway there is.
You're in the next county.
You're going quite a ways, and not going to be pleasant. Don't forget sunscreen either. Mm-hmm. Be prepared to do some walking. The cool thing about going to the drag races is that your ticket gets you in the pits. Mm-hmm. You don't have to buy a pit pass or a more expensive mm-hmm. ticket. Everybody gets to go into the pit area. So, I mean, if your favorite driver is there, generally, if you hang around long enough, you're going to be able to get his autograph because he'll be right there, or, you know, you'll be able to get a picture with him or whatever you can do. And that's not always the case if you go to IndyCar races or any of the other races.
Him or her.
And more her that's going on up there now. You got Ashley Force and you got all these things. So, mm-hmm. so don't diminish drag racing. Don't look, you know, listen, I like Ferraris and I like drag racing and I like stock car racing and I like racing and rubbing mm-hmm. and fast going and all of that. So don't look down your nose at it and think, oh, that's drag racing. Who cares? No, you'll care when you go.
Right. I'd say the same thing about road racing or even oval track. It's that the cars are moving at such a speed you just can't fathom on television.
When you watch Formula One on television, when they're accelerating from a turn to another turn and it's maybe 1,500 mm-hmm. yards, you can't believe the acceleration and you can't experience that on television. You cannot
exactly.
You cannot grasp how fast they really are going.
It's really amazing.
It's funny how that doesn't translate.
It doesn't at all. No, I was at Pocono a couple years ago for an Indy, I guess their last Indy race, because they don't do Indy races there. Mm-hmm. Those cars are flying.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not even cars. To me, they're like rocket ships.
They're bullets.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but go to the drag races. You won't be... It sounds like a 72 Oldsmobile Cutlass trying to start in the background if you can't hear it.
It's like a 1923 Ford.
Yeah. So I was reading in Hemmings, or online Hemmings newsletter that they send, that thieves in the UK are now stealing headlight assemblies.
Huh.
That's their new thing that they're stealing. So it went from catalytic converters. You don't hear about that too much.
Oh, it's anymore. Still happening.
Is it still happening mm-hmm. a lot?
Yep.
But now they're stealing headlight assemblies because get this. On the 4 Series BMW, headlights are $3,000 a piece for a headlight.
Yep.
Remember,
yep.
they used to be the little thing you mm-hmm. bought in the cardboard box.
Sure,
it was like $1.19
at Napa.
The Audi Q7, their top of the line SUV, $4,300 each. The car that lists for $60,000, so more than 10% of the list price would be the headlights. Two of them are $8,600.
Oh my goodness! They're very elaborate now with the LEDs.
They got the LEDs and the reflectors and luck and
listen, my wife rear-ended somebody in a 2001 Volvo S60.
Right.
Knocked out both headlights. They totaled the car. The headlight assembly, the two headlight assemblies were worth more than the car.
Wow!
Oh my God, that's just hard.
Great
to
car.
Yeah.
By the way.
You serious?
S60s. No, S6. I love that generation of S60.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool car.
Volvo. But who knew the headlights were, and she wasn't paying attention.
Well, and I mean, you know, people figure these things out when I guess you're desperate for whatever or
yeah.
steal something from somebody. Because wow. you can really, I imagine they come out fairly easy. I mean, you know, a screwdriver and you could probably just jam them out.
I would think you'd have to get them from inside.
So yeah, from behind the hood.
You'd be thinking wrong because sounds like
wow.
they're doing that over in the UK. So it'll trickle down mm-hmm. or over or across the pond to us.
So don't buy any headlights from the UK.
Yeah, and don't buy any headlights from a shady guy on the side of the road inside his jacket. He's got all these headlights.
They're smoldering.
Yes. Yeah, imagine that you just probably take some kind of crowbar type thing and just jam it out. I don't imagine they're doing it to protect, worried about the paint or anything.
Right, right. Yeah.
And you could probably get it off quicker than you could a catalytic converter. So, uh-huh. you know.
Oh, I don't know. If you don't give anybody ideas.
Right. But if you do know, podcast at classicautomall.com.
Yeah. 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 No. Yeah. Send us a text.
How to. You know, if you back your fancy car in, you might want to pull it in so that it's facing your doorbell camera. Mm-hmm. So at least maybe you'll get a look at the knucklehead.
Well, it's like going to the grocery store or to the, you know, one of the Target or something, and you back into your parking place, and then you realize you got to put your stuff in the back of your SUV yeah. and it's butt up against the guy in the pickup truck. And that wasn't a very smart thing.
Right.
I don't like that. And you know what? Make the parking places 10 by 20, please.
10 by 20.
10 by 20.
That's a good size.
That they need to be. There are certain shopping centers that are such a pleasure to park
mm-hmm.
in. The parking lot size is 10 by 20, or maybe it's 9 by 18, but it's bigger than these ones that you can barely fit in. And, you know, by the way, we all have big old vehicles anymore. We got big old trucks and big old SUVs. And
if you got a two-door still, the doors are wider. That's hard to do.
Yeah, it's... We like those wider ones.
Yes.
But I don't know what the code is, but I think it's 9x18 is the minimum they can be now.
And it's a certain amount of spots per type of store.
Yeah.
You're,
yeah.
Regulated.
The store, you got to regulate how many, whatever the capacity of the store is then
percentage.
There's a calculation.
Yeah, exactly.
The parking places. But you love the guy who parks in the North 40 as far away as he possibly can in his brand new Corvette. Some guy in a beater pulls up right next to
always.
Him and parks. I mean,
always.
You think they did that on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That drives me a little nuts because even though I don't have a Corvette, I do park far away. I don't mind walking. And damn if somebody didn't park right next to me. Vic DiBattista, a great comedian, has a great routine about that too. It's really, really funny about parking
far away.
Right here. You had to park.
You know, and then and I get so frustrated. You go to these stores. And there's parking places for everybody but me. You know, pregnant women, the military, the local police officers, people whose birthdays today.
You could identify as a pregnant woman, though, and park there if you wanted to. You could, no, I mean,
put a pillow,
you could just
you
claim
know.
That you're,
shave
you're
mustache.
A birthing person, as they say.
Oh, Lord.
They were putting the electric chargers close to the stores, and people without electric cars were parking in them.
Right.
So now you're kind of punished for having an electric car because they've moved a lot of them away from the store.
Well, you see,
so that they're not blocked.
You see somebody at one of the convenience stores charging their car. What are they doing for an hour and a half? Mm-hmm. I mean, are you just wandering around the convenience store?
And now I hear that if you sit in the car, they're getting some kind of radiation or something as the car is charging. So
like our
good
cell
for
phones.
You. Yeah, but now you're in the car and the whole thing's being charged. It's like you don't want to be in there. So
and somebody was saying, and I didn't read this thoroughly, so if this is fake news, I'm sorry, but about electric cars in floods, they're catching on, it causes them to short out or something. I mean, I'm sure it causes them to short out. It's water, and water and electricity are, you know, don't go
well. They're
well
not
together.
Even good in the rain. Really?
Yeah.
They short out.
No,
I don't know that.
I found some site you could probably locate. It's called Verify.
Verify.
And maybe you put that story in and see what comes up.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Yeah,
fact Verify. Checkers.
Yeah. Who's fact checking?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, is the AI? Is that gets it all?
I say ice engines for the win. Internal combustion engines for life.
You notice that a lot of the manufacturers aren't living up to their, you know, what they thought that they were going to do
three or four years ago.
They backed out a little bit. The demand is down. Listen, make electric cars, make hydrogen cars, make propane cars, make gasoline cars, make them all.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wants what it is, but don't shove it down people's throats.
And the market will dictate what is successful.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. And that's the way it did it back in the early 1900s. They had electric cars in the cities and they worked well. And as people started moving off the main line, if you will, in Pennsylvania or other places.
Off the grid.
That, these electric cars don't work so well. But that's okay. They had their purpose for there. And listen, in a utility truck in downtown New York City, probably electric truck makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But not on a semi driving across the country and not in a car driving across
the
country.
Well, the Ford Lightning's bombed.
What happened? And the Silverados, what happened? They were good looking, the electric Silverado. But we haven't seen it yet, have we? I don't think so. I haven't seen one driving.
Not too many.
So you don't, you know. That's maybe
I think what they found out with the trucks, too, is they put outlets in them. Mm-hmm. So the guys would take them to a job site.
Right.
And not only did they drive it, but then they would be running all their tools or charging their tools.
And then
and
the warranty,
like
what happens with the warranty when you're doing all that extra stuff? Is that voiding that?
I don't know about that, but they would run them down. So instead of coming home at 10% low, they'd be 50% low.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're charging 220, it's going to take a long time to charge. So, you know.
There you have it, folks. We've, in a nutshell, summed up everything there is to know about electric cars and more. We'll see you next week on the Classic Auto Mall Show.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.